County Council may have a report out on close, please.
Yes, we went into closed session at 12:55. We came out at 1:33. The entire time was dealing with county business, specifically labor negotiations, which are items 14A through I, during which period I, as well as other department heads except the CAO, stepped out. And then also item 14J was dealt with. And there's no other reportable action.
Okay. And we'll go back into close again.
No, we're not close, right?
Not right now.
Oh, later.
Same later.
Can I verify the times real quick? At 12:55 to 1:23.
No, 1:33.
1:33, thank you. Good.
All right, I have one more time-dependent item on the agenda before we go to others. Item 8A, County Administration Board of Supervisors, an oral interview. So Ms. Davis, would you tee this off for us, please?
Yes, it would be my honor. Good afternoon, Chairman Haupt, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you today is the process and interview questions with regards to the auditor-controller position. As you may be aware, the auditor-controller is retiring from county employee and thus has a term remaining of approximately a year that we would need to fill. And so we held an open recruitment, and as a result of that recruitment upon closure, we had two applicants and one that met the minimum requirements. As you may also recall, the auditor-controller has government code requirements that are necessary in order to fill the position. So with that, I have today in the audience and pretty soon before you is Diane Olson, who is the candidate that you'll be interviewing this afternoon. And the recommendation is to, of course, interview as well as then appoint, or if you so choose, may choose to close the interview and relaunch the recruitment. So that is up to the board's decision. So at this time, I would ask Diane if you'll go forward and take a seat, and then the chairman, it's all yours.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We'll go through a protocol here of different questions and kind of informal back and forth.
Okay.
And but the first thing I'm going to allow you to do is go ahead and make a statement to us, an opening statement, anything you need to hear from your perspective.
Okay. Honorable members of this board and chairman, my name is Diane Olson. I am here to interview for the auditor-controller position. I was born and raised in Scott Valley. My parents were Dorothy and Ed Corrigan. They were longtime business owners, had property over there. I graduated from Etna High School in 1987. I went to Chico State, where I graduated with a BA in political science, an ag business minor, and I got my paralegal certificate also. I moved home, as we all know that Siskiyou County has a draw to people. So I moved home. I married a local Scott Valleyan, Clay Olson. We had one daughter, Claire. She lives in Boise. I was offered the opportunity to buy into the two local Napa auto parts stores, so I took that chance, and I was with Napa for 22 years. Until I decided that it was time to move on, and so I entered the public sector employment. I started at the auditor's office as a fiscal tech, and I moved up to accounting auditor pretty fast. I was there about 4.5 years, and then I took a management position at Human Services in the fiscal department, and I've been there since. When I was at the auditor's office, it was hugely challenging, and I felt very lucky to be able to have started there, because you learn so much about the county and the inner workings of, you know, contracts, purchase orders, board agendas, payroll taxes, all that kind of stuff. So I realized that was something that really interested me and challenged me. So 2.5 years ago, I went back to school. I was accepted into a cohort with CSAC, and Cal State San Bernardino. And so I just got my test results on Friday that I passed my master's of public administration. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot to do while you're still working full time, but I'm excited for the possibility of maybe putting that master's degree to work here in Siskiyou County, not having to travel. So
okay, we have some questions, I guess.
So what is your experience and familiarity with the Government Accounting Standards Board, GASB, and generally accepted accounting principles?
Well, I did a little bit of research for this interview, and I thought it was really interesting that GASB is actually a private sector organization that was formed to establish standards for government financial reporting. And we use that at the auditor's office, every day, daily, like when you have questions about what should be coded, how it should be coded, or how it should fit in the budget, how it should fit on the financial reports. And then GAAP, the Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, those were created by GASB and actually FASB, which is the Financial Accounting Standards Board. So they kind of go hand in hand. From what I have experienced a lot in my master's coursework, we did accounting and preparing financial reports and stuff. And it's just a standard that helps everybody to be on the same page. Like, they are very dedicated to plain language so that the end user knows what can use the information and can decipher the information. I know that GASB offers, I've done several webinars for GASB, like they just came out with GASB 87, having to do with the leasing, county leasing and stuff, and that was really confusing. But on the website, the webinars, and there's podcasts that you can listen to that that explain it all in plain language. And so I think it's just two standards that are critical for ethical accounting, and so that the end user and that your constituents, you know, can use the reports and understand how their money is being spent.
Me going, I have to apologize. I was supposed to introduce the board. I just wrongly assumed that you know everybody. Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I listen to the board.
And we have County Council, Nate, Karen, and Angela. I know you've met. And Wendy and Elizabeth here. Everything that Angela throws at her and the board. And behind you is Natalie Reed. Who works in council's office, assistant county council, and Bill, attorney Warren, county council, and your dean, community development director. So, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries.
No, you.
Okay. Pursuant to Government Code Section 26881, the auditor controller is the chief accounting officer of the county. Upon order of the Board of Supervisors, the Auditor Controller shall prescribe and shall exercise a general supervision, including the ability to review departmental and countywide internal controls over the accounting forms and the method of keeping accounts of all offices, departments, and institutions under the control of the Board of Supervisors, and of all districts whose funds are kept in the county treasury. What is your experience with administering and managing internal controls?
So internal controls, I think, specifically in government, are huge for ethics, for transparency, for ensuring your constituents that you're, you know, conducting business in an ethical manner. While we were at the auditor's office, I was involved in the treasury. We audited the treasury, we audited safekeeping, we audited their cash drawers. So it's just a checks and balances that keeps everybody on the same page and communicating, so that you're working for the same goal. in my job now in human services, our funding stream is completely driven by the way we time study. So we have different program codes that are funded by different allocations from the state, and some can backfill others, some don't backfill. So it's really critical that we keep a tight rein on how people are time studying and what auditing and what revenue streams that they're using, so we can best use the majority of our money, especially with realignment. You can use realignment for some things, you can't use it for some things. So to keep that that auditing and that internal control on those funding streams is huge. Special districts, I work with special districts at the auditor's office, and like auditing their budgets and their deposits and how they're spending their money, and helps them stay out of trouble, you know, and keeps them ethical in their business practices. So I think that internal controls, I'm in charge of payroll at Human Services, and so we actually, before we turn payroll in, my office sits down and audits every single person down to the day. Like, do they have overtime correct? Should it be overtime straight? Or, you know, all the different intricacies. So I think that sometimes the auditor's office gets a bad rap because we're kind of the no department. We were the no department, but I think it's important because we catch those mistakes, you know, and we catch those, and we're able to correct them before, you know, there's financial repercussions or whatever. So I think using that as a learning tool is really important in communicating with your departments and your staff and even management. You know, there's a lot of things that get passed through fiscal contracts, purchase orders, you know, managers, especially program managers, where you're dealing with social services, you know, they're helping people and that's their main goal, but they need a little work on the financial part of it, or the, you know, what they can and can't do, the restrictions and the regulations, so.
Just a quick follow-up. It sounds as though you're very familiar with the county system.
Yes.
Not putting you on the spot.
Okay.
But is there room for improvement? Is there some glitches? And I'm not saying, you know, to be critical or anything. I'm just saying,
yeah.
You know, do we have room to improve?
I think so. I think in my master's, when I finished my master's program, I'm super excited because government is changing. You know, we're having to diversify, and our workforce is changing, and rules and regulations are changing. We debated a lot about running business, government as a business, and you know, government, the profit is not the bottom line, but there are a lot of good things that we can take away from running government as a business. And I think one of the most things that excites me is the collaboration and like working together. When I came to work for the county, it was really hard for me to grasp. We really work for the same company. We're one big company, and we're only as strong as the weakest link. Like if a department gets in trouble or they have to pay back a grant or whatever, that hurts the whole county. So it is exciting for me to be able to educate and be able to collaborate and communicate with different departments. Like I wish we were all more, you know, cohesive and had each other's back. And so that part really excites me. I think it's we can use a lot of improvement on that.
Thank you.
Brother Chris.
We talked about this some here, but I'll be asking you the question if you want to go more in depth or anything like that. The Auditor and Controller's Office is responsible for complex budgeting and accounting for not only for the county but special districts as well. Tell us about your experience and or knowledge of the various special district budgets, and describe how you would handle budgeting issue with special districts.
So I have to be honest, I feel like I'm kind of cheating on this question. Because I was in charge of special districts when I was at the auditor's office. I started out as a fiscal tech, and then I was when I moved to accountant auditor, I was able to take the special districts with me. And what a group of neat people. Like, they are volunteers. They don't get paid. They take a lot of pressure off the county, you know, like the fire departments and the cemetery departments and the water districts. And I think they do great work. And I think that I felt very privileged to be able to support them. They're all, you know, they're doing what they can do. They're not government workers. A lot of them are retired, or, you know, some of them have never even worked before, and they've, you know, felt the obligation to take on a special district. And so when I did special districts, I have made some lifelong friendships. Like, I still have some of the people that I worked with, you know, I use them on job applications as references, or I call them and ask them for ideas. So I worked with them and all their budgeting, you know, and which budget is difficult for me. Sometimes I get confused, you know, so for the everyday citizen having to do a budget when they've never done one before, I felt privileged to be able to support them and help them know the rules and the laws and why they're doing things and what, how they can do it better. So, special districts were, that was one of the things that when I left the auditor's office, I was sad that I was not working with them anymore. I did deposits and their transactions, and I went with the auditor out several times to do trainings and meetings and stuff, which I think are huge. You know, it empowers the special districts to operate a little bit more efficiently and know why they're doing things the way, why they have to do things the way that we're telling them to do it. And so, I think that special districts, plus, like I said, they take a lot of burden off the county, you know, because if those, the tasks and the organizations that they run, you know, ultimately would fall on the county. So I think that it's a good, I was always very proud that we supported the special districts in that, doing their accounting and their budgets and processing their warrants and stuff for them. So, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I have the next one. I'm going to add one too. Prerogative, I guess. The auditor controller is responsible for calculating and processing the biweekly payroll for all the county employees. What experience do you have with interpreting wage and hour laws in general and those specific to local government? And what's your experience with processing payroll?
So when I was at the auditor's office, you know, payroll is kind of its own little internal department at the auditor's office, so I didn't work a lot with payroll, but at Human Services, I'm in charge of submitting payroll every 2 weeks, and we have anywhere between 115 to 120 employees. And it can be daunting, but I'm working on getting some training so that we can go out to individual departments so that they understand the in-depth, you know, they can understand. Kronos can be difficult sometimes, and so getting down in the weeds and figuring out and enabling them to know how to overtime straight and overtime regular overtime or comp time taken and then that kind of stuff can be, there's a lot of integral parts to it. Payroll, so when I first started with the county, I joined the union, and I was with the union for about 4.5 years, and it was good for me because I've never been employed in government, you know, so I didn't know unions or negotiations or anything like that. And so it was a good learning experience. And I stayed there until I felt like my job was becoming more required more of my time, and so I stepped down off of the union. But with negotiations, I was involved in negotiations and the labor laws and stuff. I think that payroll, I look at payroll and I think it can be very touchy because you're dealing with people's livelihood, you know, and I think the more that you can communicate with them and the better relationship that you can have with departments and staff, the easier it is to mitigate when the negative issues come up, you know. Payroll is governed by labor laws, and especially in government, you can't do bonuses, you can't do stuff like that, you know. And so when you're talking about an employee that thinks that they should be compensated a certain amount, I think the more that you can communicate with them, like, I can't compensate you that way. It's not because I don't want to be, but it, because it's against rules and regulations. So I think the more that you can communicate and be on the same page with your employees and departments, for that matter, too, then those touchy subjects are easier mitigated.
Okay. What about, one thing I didn't see in there was familiarity with grants and agreements and those kinds of things. We, you know, outside the county, we deal with a lot of state agencies, federal agencies.
Yeah. So we're doing a lot at housing grants through Human Services, and we collaborate on those, and we get, you know, I'm trying to get fiscal more involved in what can and can't be spent on grants and the supplanting issue. And whereas in Human Services, where the program manager, they see grant money, you know, but sometimes it's not the best thing that to apply for the grant, or so. Grants are kind of touchy, but I do know that they are, you know, they're a huge way to bring revenue into the county. I just do know that you have to be pretty careful about, you know, the way you spend them and what you spend them on, and crossing your T's and dotting your I's when you're applying for them.
Okay. The question I made up is, you know, that you're going to be a department head, basically. Uh-huh. And so I'm interested in your management philosophy and personal management in general.
I think that I like to approach my staff as a team. You know, we're a team and we have specific goals and we have to reach those goals. But I want my employees to feel like they're valued. I tell my staff, you know, when I went to Human Services was one of my departments when I was at the auditor's office. So I knew a little bit about, you know, their contracts and their purchase orders. And I audited their CEC before I got over there. But ultimately, when I got there, I told my staff, I need you guys because you know actually more than I know, and I need to learn from you. And so I think that in my master's program, we've learned a lot about the silo effect, and sometimes in government, you know, we keep our information close to us because either it makes us feel important or we think it's job security. But I feel just the opposite. I think the better that my employees can know what I'm doing and manage the office, then that it's easier on me and I can look to the future. I can forecast. I can be progressive in processes and policies and so I think it's really important that we empower our employees and make them feel part of the team and make them feel valued, and it just makes life a little bit more easy.
Thank you, I appreciate that. You know, looking at your resume, I'm impressed. Thank you. So Ed, I think you're the next.
Okay, we're rounding the final turn here. I'm blowing out. What is your experience working with the elected officials? And you kind of touched on your management in here. Working with the elected officials, county administrators, city managers, county department heads, and boards of special districts. And then, as a side note to that, what have you done or what will you do to establish credibility and facilitate communications with them?
So one thing that comes to mind is the EOC. The last 2 years I've been able to be a part of the EOC, and I've worked with Red Cross. Mike Tanner from Red Cross was a dynamite in the Slater fire. Like, he helped us so much. And then I was in charge for human service. I was in charge of the LAC, the Local Assistance Center. So that brought Social Security, DMV, all the insurances, and those different state agencies together to help the people. I think that year we did two of them, one in Waurika and one in Happy Camp. So work with OES, Cal OES, and getting the rules and the regulations and stuff. I've worked with county council in contracts. I think I have a pretty good rapport with them, and trying to decipher the requirements and the different vendors that want to use their own contracts and stuff like that. I worked really well with Wayne Hammer at the Treasury when I was at the auditor's office. And even now, on one issue that just came up, was there was a lien that was placed by our office, and so we had to jump through the hoops to do a release of lien, and we worked with the county council's office and the Treasury and the recorder's office. So I think that I think I have a good rapport. I mean, I would say I do. I think that it's important to realize that each department has its own issues, and I think we're sometimes critical of each other, and so I would like to open up the communication and open up the collaboration and be helpful and educate, so that everybody is able to be confident and be positive and feel good about, you know, gosh, I got this accomplished today. So I think that would be one of my big goals, is to open up communication. And if I was appointed, to use my position to help other departments, educate them, and make life maybe a little bit easier on them if I could. So,
thank you.
So before I wrap up here, the board have further questions? The board members. So I guess next question I'll ask you is, do you have any questions of us?
That we can
answer.
Well, what would be one of the big things that you are looking for in an auditor controller?
The big ones for me are timeliness, the payments to vendors, and accurate accounting to this board that we make decisions on, and improved relations across county departments.
Okay.
Those are my big three.
I think along with that, you know, I'm going to use the Parks and Rec districts a little bit more smooth process.
Yeah.
It seems like every year it's something different.
Yeah.
You answered mine several times, one county team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's huge.
Well, you touched a bit on it, but are you open to even like a new system? I mean, I know what we've used for a long time is been there a long time.
Yeah.
And that's why if there's room for improvement, if you're open to a new system altogether, would that make life
more definitely
efficient?
I mean, if it's a better system, I mean, I think Banner, if you learn how to learn Banner. I have been in my cohort and my master's, that was one thing that we talked about, was what different counties are using, what accounting system or what policy and practices. And most of the time you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, there is a wheel out there that will work better for our county. And so if it works better, you know, let's do it.
And I'm not suggesting I know.
No, yeah.
I'm just asking the question if that's even, you know, in your sights of, you know, is
yeah.
it a possibility?
So. Yeah. I think we get stuck in a rut. We don't, you know, we're, it's not the best system, but we know how to use it, and so we just
Understood.
Stay with it.
But we're coming up against budgetary constraints, and
yeah.
I guess I'm just looking to something future that might, you know, improve what we have that makes life easier,
yeah.
if that's possible. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
So that concludes, I think, the questions that we have, and I'm going to turn it back to you to make any kind of further comments you'd like before we conclude
okay.
the interview.
I think I've said everything that I know Angela and I talked the other day, and I think it's an exciting time for the county. I think we have a lot that we can work on, but I think we have a unique little area here, and like I said earlier, people have a draw here. When I left for college, I thought I'm never coming back, you know, and then you get out there and then you realize what a special place that we do live in, you know, and so when I went back to get my master's degree in public administration, I realized that I wanted to give back to the community and give back, do what I could do, and still be able to stay in the area, you know. And so in doing that, just the collaboration and the communication and that I think that we can improve upon. So that would be my goals.
All right. So at this point, it's a discussion with the board. You can either stay or you can leave.
No, I'm wanting to stay.
Okay. Okay. We've concluded the questions we've been
okay.
asking.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
So once again, we had two applicants, one qualified. The option is to go out to recruit. We appoint. They still have to do an election cycle to that?
Correct. They would fulfill the term until January 2nd of 2023 at 11:59 a.m. And so if they chose to be an elected official, they would then run in that election cycle. It's coming very quickly upon us. So, yes.
But if we appoint, then what happens then? We still have to go
right
through
now,
that cycle?
Correct. Because right now, as you're appointing as an elected official.
Right.
Anything and everything, benefit structure, everything is going to be considered as an elected official. So they would have to run again as an elected official.
But our intent was to go to an appointed position.
Correct. And that appointed official ballot measure has to be voted on by the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that is still moving forward.
Okay.
However, there's still that option of if you so choose to appoint, then Ms. Olson can then run for election as well.
I assume Ms. Olson wouldn't mind being an appointed department head?
No.
Thank you. So I think we're all good. I'm comfortable waiting. Going out for another round, I don't think is going to be productive. We're up against time limit in the cycle, and you know, I'm comfortable at this point to do that.
I'd agree. I think just the experience that she's shown here, it would be an easy.
Well, through the county family,
yeah,
that experience.
She already has that knowledge that can be put to work real quickly. So I tend to agree that. I don't know that we would benefit by going out for another round. I think let's just get her done.
No, I'm comfortable as well with the hiring. I know the talent. You know, one thing we wanted is local talent to stay within the county and homegrown talent.
The fact that she mentioned CSAC probably got my attention.
I thought that it was. Yes.
But to have that, and then you look at the references. The people on the references aren't lightweights. I'll stop there.
Yeah, I'm ready to appoint. You had me with you graduated from high school.
You checked a lot of boxes there. Yeah.
And I didn't know the tie to Corrigan, so.
Oh, yeah.
that was in there, too. No, I'm impressed with the record. I doubt that we'd do better. even if we extend it, and appreciate you wanting to work in the county, because someone with your credentials is difficult for us to recruit. I really appreciate that. So,
what do we need to do?
Yeah, what do we need to do at this point?
That's it.
There's a recommended motion.
Yeah, it's a recommended motion.
I believe.
To appoint Diane Olson as auditor controller to fulfill the remainder of the term.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
And just for clarification, I'm looking at the agenda. It says condition upon completion of a satisfactory background investigation.
Correct.
She works for the county, for God's sakes. It's too late for that, Ed.
Follows the rules.
No, we need to be consistent now. We've let some slip through that process before wasn't
that
good.
That would be fine.
So,
and just to clarify, and then that was not to open a new recruitment. That part of the recommended motion is nil. Thank
you.
Okay, ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Get to work.
Public hearings next?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to go to 13A, public hearing. Is this formal? I'm opening a hearing?
Yeah.
Well, let me find.
Go through my hearing protocol.
Yep, this is an open.
Mr. Dean.
This board is Supervisor Celeste V. Ripkin, Community Development Director.
Before you start.
Yes.
When did you have a order that you have to read into the record?
This isn't an ordinance, so we really don't, but it's they're going to consider a closeout report on the Community Development Block Grant Program income for the public facility acquisition of the Hornbrook Community Center located at 15439 Hornbrook Road in Hornbrook.
Now, Mr. Dean, presentation of staff.
Okay, thank you kindly. I'm going to be very brief here, and I'm going to introduce you to Kristen Lackey, who is our extra help, part-time CDBG savior. And with that, I will turn it over to her.
All right.
Well, that's a tough act to follow. It's a lot of pressure. So I'm here today, so good afternoon, board.
Good afternoon.
I'm Kristen Lackey, as Rick just said, and I'm not from Siskiyou County, sorry about that. But I'm here to conduct a public hearing that's a requirement for our Community Development Block Grant Program that's commonly referred to as CDBG. And specifically for the PI-only Siskiyou County Public Facility Acquisition Project. This is a requirement of CDBG guidelines from the state as well as federal regulations. And it was properly noticed in the Siskiyou Daily News on Wednesday, October 20th, or today. We received no comments, no written comments, no telephone comments up until right now. And so just to give you a little background, in past years, our CDBG program, they've run single family rehab projects, they've done microenterprise, economic development loan projects, and some first-time homebuyer projects. So as people pay off all those loans, as they pay the payments, or as they do a full payoff, those funds come in and they accrue over time and they become program income that can be used in turn for other CDBG eligible projects. So a portion of those funds were approved by the board on July 7th, 2020, to use $125,000 of that program income to assist the Hornbrook Community Association in replacing their community center that was previously used at the Hornbrook Grange that was lost in the Climathon fire. So this project did meet a CDBG national objective that is required for CDBG. through the area benefit category, and what that means is that the activity benefits the entire area, the residents in the area, where at least 51% of the residents are low and moderate income persons, as determined by the census. The Hornbrook area does meet that qualification. So the project actually came in under budget, just under $100,000, around a little over $99,000 was expended to purchase 15439 Hornbrook Road in Hornbrook. And since the association has acquired that building, they've been in some transition, and they're working on updating the restroom to be ADA compliant. But they've continued to do great work. They continue to do their food distributions to the area. They distribute food at the center, but then they also meet there, collect the food, put together packets, and bring it out to community members. They've had a neighborhood watch meeting there. They held social events there in the outside area. And then it's also used as their facility, so kind of their office building. And I actually brought with me today Pat Miller and Beth Peterson, who are on the board of the Hornbrook Community Association, so they could also just give you a quick update and say.
Sure.
I'm not doing this by myself.
Good afternoon.
No, we are very, very happy that you gave us this opportunity. We have a lot of work to do, and we have been working at it. We are happy to inform you that our bathroom is now in progress, and we just need a plumber to finish the bottom, and we have local help from our community. Under Pooh Bear's license to do some work, and we just have an awful lot of people. We just had a very nice community Halloween party that was put on, trunk or treat, and it was not out of trunks, and thank goodness the weather was nice on Sunday, and we had a lot of people show. We were really surprised. We are still having our coming back to after the Klamathon fire get-togethers, and we are just really happy with how the community is coming together with this, and we hope that this is a new way to get started back with our community to work together to do more important things around us.
Beth. I'm just here to be supportive and say thank you very much for having confidence in us, and we expect good things from Hornbrook. We have some wonderful people there supporting us, and thank you.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
if you don't know these two ladies, you need to get to know them. nothing brings a smile to my face like the energy that these two brought to bringing Hornbrook back together.
Thank you very much.
I am deeply indebted to you for doing that. We really appreciate your work.
And they're great. I've gone out and met with them. I'm new. I've only been here a couple of months, but I've gone out with them and already initiated kind of the transition into a monitoring role with them. And as was mentioned earlier, grants are not for the faint of heart. And these women are putting in the time and the effort to, make my job easy, to just collect their information from them and then report it back to the state. So that concludes the report, unless you have any questions of me?
Not yet.
No?
Okay. Maybe in a little bit.
Okay.
I have to get through the protocol here. So do we have any correspondence on this?
Not at the clerk's level.
And any presentation of other staff or public agencies?
None online.
Okay. Proponents, arguments, or evidence? I think we heard most of it.
None online.
Opponents, arguments? I have never heard a word against this project, but
None online.
Not online either. Public comment. I open this to public comment. With any public comment, please press star 9 on your phones. You may be heard at this time.
None online.
Okay, seeing none in the room here. Do I need to continue or close this?
You can close it.
Close this hearing? Okay. I'll close this hearing, bring it back to discussion of the board. If there's no discussion, I'd be more than happy to make the recommended motion.
Second.
Because I don't believe there's a motion associated with this item. No, it was just to conduct the public hearing, but I'd love to have your approval.
Then
okay,
we're good.
Then we're good.
Great. Yes, and I also wanted to say thank you to Wendy. This was my first board order with the public hearing attached,
welcome.
And she provided a lot of good guidance.
She's going to work full time?
Not yet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming down from Hornbrook, and I look forward to coming out and see what you've done to the place.
Oh, not right now, it's all for now.
I'll bring the hammer.
Okay. Well, you know, I might say there might be a group, and I've always advocated this. This is where we would do a field trip.
Yeah.
Maybe springtime.
Yeah.
To see where we're allocating, what's going on.
Yeah. Kind of come full circle. My first campaign when I ran, I spoke. One of the places I spoke was at the Green Line, or at the there too, at the Hornbrook Range.
Oh.
And it looked like a
yeah.
in the heart.
When, no, it was up there in the morning.
Yeah, it was awful. Anyway, I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's figure out where I am in this again.
Should be at 13B, I believe.
13B. Another public hearing, community development. And are we going to continue this item, I hear?
Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Chairman, yes, we'd like to continue this item to December 7th, please.
Okay. Duly noted.
Thank you, Kyle.
Okay. Going back to... flood control and water conservation district. Recess the board of supervisors and open the flood control and water conservation district. Public comment. Is there any public comment under the flood control?
None online.
None. Then item 9B.
These were meant to be consent, so I don't believe anybody will be here to present for them.
Move to approve both B and C.
B and C.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second, Linda.
Okay. Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Cobbseff?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yes.
And Director Haupt?
Aye. Got a minute approval?
I've received no corrections. Which ones are we on? Flood?
September 21.
I've received no corrections for those.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Cobbseff?
Abstain, yes, because I wasn't there.
Okay. And Director Valenzuela?
Sure.
Thank you.
Aye. You didn't call on me.
Oh, and Director Haupt, sorry. I was busy writing something else, sorry. Thank you.
Adjourned as a flood control water conservation district, reconvene as the Board of Supervisors. Minute approval, 12. A and B. Well, I take them separately because of supervisor comments. So. Item 12A. Reconsideration of September 7th.
Yes, I just needed to make a correction when I was going through these. I had missed the very first item on the agenda on the first page, 136, the off agenda item to add an item to closed session. And
okay.
Now it's on there. So.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Thank you.
Now, September 21.
And I received no corrections for those.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseff?
Abstain.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Report and staff reports quick before we go back to the post.
Quickly attended the Cattleman's dinner Saturday evening and then also attended the EDC annual, wasn't it? What fall? The fall event they had over in McLeod, which was well attended as well. So.
I attended the board meeting yesterday for the EDC, which was well attended. That was a pretty good presentation, I thought, quite honestly.
I attended the EDC, but over computer.
There you go.
And then on the night of the Cattleman's dinner, the city of Tulake opened up Veterans Park. Redesigned the park downtown for a great welcoming site coming into town. As you all know, the history of Tulake was founded by homesteaders from World War I and World War II, so it was nice to.
And if I could just add one more thing,
sure.
Wendy. On the 28th, I attended the NorTech meeting in Chico. We do have a new, her name is Wendy Zanatelli, that oversees this Weed Smart operation. It's a job retraining, you know, with all the Bell Campo things, so that's kind of the focus. So at some point, I've asked for her to come give a presentation before the board regarding her operation and how she's incorporating weed into the Shasta County. She also handles Del Norte. So it's a pretty wide term.
Yeah. Even though I was gone, I did a few things last month. I did have a pretty productive lunch with the new CAO for Cisco Telephone. And he was primarily hired to institute and implement broadband in Cisco County. So Cisco Telephone is looking a little different than they historically have within Sky Valley, but they're looking broader from a countywide perspective, and very interested in meeting all of the supervisors and talking to you about that. He's here from Seattle, retired from, but he's also done broadband work for the governor of Wyoming, worked in Montana, Idaho, and Washington State. So comes with some pretty good credentials. I attended the Lola dinner in Fort Jones this month. I attended the Cattleman's dinner. And I attended a number of groundwater curtailment inspection different ranches in Scott Valley. The water board came up. And with that, unless there's anything else, go close.